this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a few minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live, but dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209. And for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WSFB, 1490 AM. Talk, 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. WCNR Digital, West Virginia. And K98Talk.com. Let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing there, sir?
Pretty good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Pretty good. I got two or three Thanksgiving meals out of the deal. On Wednesday night, I had Thanksgiving dinner with some friends. And then on Thursday, I went to my youngest daughter's house and had Thanksgiving dinner there. And then Friday, went out and saw the movie Creed, which, by the way, everyone should go see that movie. It's pretty good. And Saturday, I went to my sister's. And spent the day and spent the night, and I just drove back this morning. And I've done nothing but eat for 3 or 4 days, I guess, pretty much. So now I have to, I guess, get back to normal, hopefully. Let's get started. Like always, we've got more to talk about than we'll possibly get to, but we'll give it a try. One thing I wanted to bring up, I didn't even have this in the show notes, but you and I were talking about it before we came on the air. One thing. We talked about this briefly about 2 or 3 weeks ago, how stupid Congress was to give Obama a blank check to be able to spend as much money as he wanted until the end of his term. And supposedly we got some goodies out of the deal too. I'm not sure it was worth all this or not, but I just was telling Ken right before we went on the air, ladies and gentlemen, anybody want to guess how much money we have already gone further in debt since the idiots in the Congress gave Obama essentially a blank check for the rest of his presidency? Anybody want to venture a guess? And this is for a three-week period, how much more we have gone in debt. And I'll save the suspense and go ahead and tell you, over $500 billion. And if I remember the exact number, I don't have it in front of me. I think it was 568. It might be 523. I know it's over $500 billion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a half a trillion dollars in 3 weeks. You know, Ken, I think I told you this when we were talking. It's been predicted before this that that the national debt when Obama leaves office will be over $20 trillion. Well, I don't have the website pulled up right now showing what the national debt is, but if he did a half a trillion in 3 weeks, I think we're screwed. And I think $20 trillion is going to be the low end.
Yeah.
God only knows how much it'll be. And they can't do anything about it now. There are no limitations on the amount of money this guy can spend. Unbelievable.
I think we're all, you know, you listen to Rush Limbaugh. I think we're all worried about what's going to happen in his last year. I know,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Well, he's already made a commitment on guns. He has said that he is going to, that's one area that he feels like he has failed in and he has not done what he wants to do. And of course he took this opportunity with this shooting in Colorado Springs last few days. Again, to call for more gun control, blah, blah, blah. And you know, the crazy thing, not crazy. This is typical actually, ladies and gentlemen. Have you heard some of the mainstream media describe this guy, even though, and they were talking about this guy before he was even caught, before they even knew who he really was, et cetera. And the mainstream media was talking about, they were predicting that he was a Republican. They were predicting that he was a Christian. They were predicting that he was a Tea Party member. They were predicting, I mean, just on and on and on and on and on. And predicting that it had something to do with his opposition to abortion, et cetera. Now, in fact, of course, some of the hostages that were held were from this abortion clinic. That's no doubt about that. That is true. But this is all said before anybody knows what the guy's motivations were and what his problems were and who the hell he really is. And I get so sick and tired of everybody jumping on that kind of stuff. And the reality is almost every mass murder situation we've had in the past, I don't know, 20 years or so, when they actually go and figure out who these people are, they're almost always progressive Democrats. Yet the mantra from reported. The mantra from the media is always, oh, that they must be a gun crazy right winger, you know. I mean, Republican, Christian, you know, whatever. And just it's so nuts, and they get away with it every time. Nobody ever calls them on it.
No, but you know what? I think that's the tide's turning a little bit because of the Trump and the Ben Carson phenomenon and the Republican Party. I think, you know, the last debate, the CNBC debate where they try to get tagged to each other. I think, Primo, that maybe the voting public is wisening up.
Maybe just a little, though. I hate to say this, but I don't have a whole lot of hope for the general public out there in our great land that we have. Oh. Most of them are just dumb as a doorknob. And I don't have a whole lot of faith for the average voter. Let's just put it that way. That's kind of
Watching Waters World or the thing used to be on Jay Leno and Leno on the Streets and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Anytime these guys go out and do a on the street interview and ask people questions about American history or whatever, and the stupidity of the average American is actually amazing. That
I was watching one. They showed a whole thing on Waters World, thing on Fox, and they asked, can you name one of the ships that Columbus came over on the, you know, when he discovered America? They said, yeah. A lot of them said the Mayflower.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I mean, let's face it, though. When you got a President Obama comparing the Syrian refugees to the Pilgrims, you can kind of understand where that comes from, right?
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he pulls out, he doesn't care what kind of historical thing he pulls and trying to twist it into the real world, and it's always non-factual. It's always the worst thing he could use, but he uses it anyway. He doesn't care.
Oh, he just, yeah. I mean, he'll take anything and twist it, and this whole thing of we've talked about this before, where he tries to talk about how Muslims are a very accepting religion and blah blah blah, which of course they're not. And then he says stuff like that we have all these shared values with the Muslim faith. Oh. And I'm thinking, name one.
Just one.
Name one shared value that most followers of Islam, who you know, have with people of the Christian faith or Jewish faith.
You know, anytime he opens his mouth and he says the word we as Americans, you know, we this, we that. And I'm thinking, me, you, we're not we. We have never been we.
He ain't we. He ain't
That's
we.
That's what I mean. He's not. He was never raised in this country.
He was
raised in the Muslim faith. And in fact, in his book, Audacity of Hope, it says if the political winds turn, he's going to go with the Muslims. I mean, it's not a we, buddy. We're not in the same we.
I know.
Gosh, I'm going to shut the up. It kills me when he says that stuff. I go, don't say we, because you put me in there with you, and I'm not with you. I never have been.
I know. And then he talks about this whole idea of a religious test. And he says, that's not who we are as Americans and stuff like that. And whatever. But here's the thing. This whole idea of bringing all these Syrian refugees into this country. Now, think about this. During World War II, were we bringing in German refugees into this country?
Japanese, no.
No. Matter of fact, we actually took some of the Japanese people who were of American descent. They were Americans who had Japanese blood, and they were rounded up and put in internment camps. Now, that was not necessarily a good thing per se, but at the same time, you know what? During wartime, sometimes
you didn't take any chances.
Yeah.
And what do you need? Do you need to have another a Paris type thing happen here and to go, oops, God, didn't work. You know, the majority of them, they were nice and peaceful people. That one or two got in there, and that's awful. But you know that, and I'm thinking, no, we don't take that chance, Butthead. We just don't do it. And he's willing to roll the dice.
Well, you know, it's been stated many times before that during World War II in Germany, of course, the Nazi Party was in power. It's almost an accepted fact that probably only 10% of the German people were actually real Nazis. I mean, you know, you had a lot of people who, quote, were members of the Nazi Party, but they didn't care anything about the Nazi Party, didn't care anything about whatever. It's just that the fact that when the brown shirts show up and want to know if you want to be a member of the party and they have rifles in their hands, what do? You know, you say you're a Nazi. You sign a pledge and blah, 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 blah. And look what happened with only roughly 10% of the German population being Nazis. Well, you know what? If only 10% of the Muslim population are jihadis, then it's, you know, isn't it the same thing? I mean, you can't, I don't know. Jeez. The idea that we're going to just take these people in, and by the way, this whole idea, you know, they're talking about, oh, we it takes 18 to 24 months to vet these people, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? If tell me, you know, here's the thing, Ken. These people are from countries who don't have
intelligence.
They don't have intelligence. They don't have databases, whatever. So you take an application on somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, the first question is are you a jihadi and do you plan on committing terrorism in the United States? And there's a little box that goes yes and no.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to take a venture as to how many people are going to check, yes, I am a jihadi and I'm going to commit terrorism in the United States? How many people are going to actually do that?
Yeah, is that our vetting process?
That is basically the vetting process. Now, it may be several forms, several pages. It may take several months to get you approved. But think about it. All they can do is ask you stupid questions that you're going to give the answers to that they want. Nobody is going to say, yes, I'm going to commit terrorism in your country. Please let me in. That is not going to happen. So just stop this stupid stuff. This is nonsense.
I just don't, you know, no matter how good our intelligence is here, I mean, you bring people in. I'm sure you take their picture. You get their names. You find out where they live. But no matter how good we are at keeping track of them, when you get overwhelmed with people coming in, you cannot watch them all. You can't. And so those things that can happen, those things like Paris, it's going to happen. Something's like, it's going to happen here.
Well, here's the thing. Think about this. If your name is Muhammad, and you're from Syria, and you're filling out this application, and I ask you, let's just take something real simple. What would be one of the simplest things that would be on the application? And that would be your name and your address, right?
Yeah.
So you give your address as 123 Muhammad Street. Or whatever. I'm using Muhammad a lot, but let's stick with me. 123 Muhammad Street, Damascus, Syria is your address. You go to 123 Muhammad Street in Damascus, Syria, and there's nothing but a big hole there where someone bombed the crap out of the building you used to live in, right?
Yeah.
So how do you verify that?
You don't.
If all you're doing is verifying addresses from cities who've been bombed out, and see how stupid it is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? You cannot verify any information they give you. You can't even verify their names, for God. I'm about to cuss. you can't verify a single thing they're going to put on the stupid form. Not one.
Well, this is where the safety of our country, safety of our citizens, that's going to be huge in this election.
I hope so.
And look at Trump's numbers. Now, Trump has said some really stupid things, and I will be the first to admit it's some lot of stupid things. But that's Trump. But his numbers don't seem to budge.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people forget, Ken, and maybe I don't know if you agree with this or not. You let me know if you agree with this or not. Now, he has support from conservatives, no doubt about it. But I think he has really more support from crossover voters and, quote, independents. I think that's the majority of his support. That's why he's at 38% or whatever the heck he's at right now, because when you divide up all the conservative votes, like you got so many percent for Carson, so much for Cruz, so much for Rubio, Fiorina, et cetera, you almost have to realize that a lot of that support for Trump is not necessarily, quote, the conservative wing of the party. They're independents and or blue dog Democrats, if there are any of those left.
Which I think that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, he comes across as, I'll build a wall. I'm gonna get this country back to being a huge major power, and which in turn means safety.
Yeah,
you feel safer, and I think those people are, you know, a flock to that. You know, you got Hillary Clinton, who's, oh, let's bring them in, let's bring the refugees in, and Muslim is not a, we're not an enemy with the Muslim religion. And when you say that kind of stuff, you're trying to be, you know, appeasing to everybody. And no, that doesn't appeal to what you were talking about, the independents and people that are the swing voters.
And one thing I want to bring up, too, you know, on these Syrian refugees, do you have any idea, Ken, how many Persian Gulf states that are primarily Muslim have accepted? How many Syrian refugees have they accepted? Any idea?
Zero.
Zero. Exactly right.
I heard.
None.
Yeah.
None.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you something?
And we're supposed to take them? And Europe's supposed to take them? Screw mm-hmm. that. If they won't take them themselves and their own neighbors won't take them, what does that tell you?
I don't understand why we couldn't create a safe zone there and keep these people there. I don't understand. And then send them food. Send them whatever they need. We're good at that.
Yeah.
We're really good at that.
You know what? There's tons of desert, right, in Saudi Arabia. There's nothing but desert, right? You just go and you block off and you set up a tent city, right, and you bring in food and water and shelter and just bring them all in there. Now, is that the best solution? Well, it might be in this particular case. Is it ideal? No, it's not ideal. But I'd rather do that than to have them invading all these other countries and knowing that even if only a certain percentage of the people who are in the country are jihadis, it doesn't take that many of them to create a big mess. So...
This is the for me, it's just simply if one person gets over here, one, just one, and we've talked about this percentage stuff last show, but if just one gets through, what kind of damage can one person do?
Well, like just take the 10,000 number that they've been talking about, just 10,000 people. And 10% of 10,000 is 1,000. And so 1% would be, what, 100?
100.
So I think. And so if you've got 100 people, if only 100 people are jihadis, turn loose 100 people in this country. And they can create quite a bit of havoc. Look what 15 people did on 9/11.
It just seems to me we're kind of a country that has something has to happen huge. Something has to kick us into gear. You know what I mean?
Oh, that, no, that's sad, 9/11. True. It's not sad but true. But something big's gonna have to happen before
when
it gets everybody's attention.
When 9/11 happened, and one thing you say about George Bush, he kept us safe, and we took the fight to them. There's no doubt about it. And we had them on their heels, and they were running. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind. And then that was over. We got Bin Laden, and all those things kind of – for me, it's very fresh in my memory. But for a lot of people, it's kind of like 9/11 is just a blip on the radar. And I'm like, how can you not – we had that happen here. Why do we need another 9/11?
I accept. Yeah, I think so. People are so wrapped up in their own little worlds. They're so wrapped up in the Kardashians and Dancing with the Stars and all this kind of stupid stuff and their cell phones. For God's sake. You know, I get so sick of people sitting there ignoring each other, looking at their stupid cell phones.
Eating dinner.
I mean, you're at a Thanksgiving dinner, and almost everybody is sitting there either on a tablet or a cell phone. And you're not even, I mean, even when you're supposed to be with family and visiting and whatever, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I've seen that not just my own family, but I've seen it at other families and other places I've visited. And I'm thinking, what is the point? What's the point of even getting together if you're going to do that?
Go to any restaurant and look around.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's just, what is everybody's obsession with their stupid cell phone? I do not get it. I mean, I have a cell phone. I have an Android. It's a, you know, but I don't keep my nose buried in the damn, excuse me, the thing all the time. I don't. I really don't. Anybody who knows me knows that my cell phone normally stays in my truck almost anywhere I go. The only time I take it in anywhere is if I'm expecting a really important phone call or something or whatever. And even then, I don't like doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just one thing that just bugs me. I cannot stand people who just, it's just stupid. Well, but what I'm getting at is that because of that stupid mentality, it's going to take something that really wakes people up. And until they see another 9/11 on their cell phones or their tablets, I'm afraid it's not going to click for anybody.
But that's a very scary thing to think about. I mean,
I don't know.
What, I mean, I don't, and you got another article that you're talking about, 150 people go through security without even being checked. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's coming again.
I tell you what, we're running a little over. Let's go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about that 150 people here in just a minute and then fill everybody in on what happened there. Thank you for listening to the Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedis, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedis isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedis now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Ken mentioned right before we went to break about this 150 people. There was, ladies and gentlemen, there was a flight from Mexico with 150 people on board that was allowed to skip customs, leave the JFK airport, and were released out into the wild of
the wild
of New York City. Unbelievable. The thing is, I know that a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, Mexico is another country. And when you fly into JFK, that is an international flight. All international flights have to go through customs. That's what's supposed to happen. And what happened in this case was, again, apparently, I don't know if they went to the wrong gate or whatever, but the people got off the plane. Normally, you get off the plane, you go right into customs, okay, before you ever get your baggage and stuff. They got off the plane. They were directed to go down these escalators and directed to pick up their bags, and they were free to go because somebody didn't realize, I guess, apparently, that flight was the international flight and should have gone through customs. And so the people thought, I wonder how come we're not having to go through customs. I mean, some of the legitimate people, and they got their bags and just left. Well, eventually, the TSA and the airport people, they figured out what they had done. And so they started panicking and getting a hold of everybody who was on that flight and telling them, you've got to come back to the airport and go through customs. Because we didn't do it to start with. Now, I didn't read the follow-up story, so I don't know how many people they got a hold of. I don't know how many people actually showed back up at the airport. I got a funny feeling that they weren't able to get some of these people back. I mean, I find it hard to believe they got all 150 back. Now, I don't know if they did or not, but I find that hard to believe. But like we talked before, Ken, even if they go through customs, again, the questions they ask and the things they do in our case are stupid. If we handled customs like the Israelis did, we'd be a hell of a lot safer. But we don't do that kind of stuff because we don't profile. Oh, no, you can't profile.
No.
You know. And so we do a lot of stupid PC, politically correct things that are going to get us killed one of these days. And so it's really easy to get through customs. It's not a big deal. And then, like I've said before, I think last show, our biggest problem is that people come here they have all the proper paperwork. They're not sneaking in at all. They come in on a flight. They go through JFK or someplace like that. And then once they get out of customs, they're free to go and do whatever the hell they please, even though they're supposed to leave by a certain date. No one ever checks up on them. No one ever looks to see if someone has overstayed their visa or not. That just is not done.
No.
That's how you wind up with the situation we have now. I tell you what.
It's a scary thing. It just is. Things like, I don't, you know, if that's happened one time, how many times has it happened before? It wasn't reported.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If I remember right, I read an article recently saying that we have about 100,000 people who are from Middle Eastern countries who are supposedly in the United States attending college. Okay. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. Let's pretend it's okay. Well, here's the problem. No one ever checks to see if they ever actually enroll in any of these colleges. That's just not done. You come here and say, I'm a student. I'm going to attend the University of Chicago and blah, blah, blah. They at customs and they let you in and then you disappear. And we discovered this during 9/11 that we should have been doing this. Have we done anything about it since 9/11? No, not really.
What happens when let's say they do go to college, and they finish college? Who checks on them to make sure they leave?
Nobody. Just like I said, nobody checks on any of these people when or not they leave. The vast majority of people we have in this country illegally are here because they overstayed their visas. They came right into the country legally.
Right.
Yet no one ever checks to make sure they leave.
Right.
It's a big hole. We don't do any tracking. You come in, we look at your paperwork, we look at your visa. If everything checks, we sign off. Welcome to America. Last you hear of them, for the most part.
I think that was, you know, no one ever talks about that in the presidential race.
No, they don't talk about that. And the only time that stuff gets brought up, Ken, is if they get in trouble, they get, you know, some kind of legal trouble, mm-hmm. and then they check on them at that point and go, oh, you're supposed to have left the U.S. 2 years ago.
Right.
That's the only time they get checked.
Right.
Jeez.
They have to get in trouble first.
They have to get in trouble first. You have to catch them doing whatever they're doing.
Then the investigation happens.
Then all of a sudden they get all concerned about, oh, are you here legally and blah, 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 blah. And they start going through all the stuff. And did you ever enroll at the University of Chicago? Well, yeah, I went for one semester and then I quit. Or I never enrolled or whatever. And they find out all these things later on.
So if one of these people goes into a theater or a mall or wherever and starts shooting up people, then that's when they're going to be going, you know, this guy's here on an expired visa.
That's the way it always happens. They never catch them beforehand.
And that's what it's going to take, Primo. That's what it's going to take. Something like that to happen. For them to go, oh, we better start checking these expired visas.
Well, but here's the thing. Since you didn't put any type of way of tracking them when you first brought them in the country, let's say you're going to check on them. You got Muhammad from Syria. He says he's going to the University of Chicago. You call the University of Chicago. Did Muhammad show up? No. Now what do you do? You don't even know if he's in Chicago. He may have landed at JFK and was going to catch the flight to Chicago. Maybe he caught a flight to Chicago. Maybe he caught a flight to Atlanta. You don't know. Once they get in, they're scot-free. He could have rented a car and took a tour. He could have visited all 50 states, for all we know.
You know, the crazy part is that you look at any other country.
Nobody does.
They don't do that.
Nobody does this.
You go to Mexico, and if you try to live in Mexico, you are like a third-class citizen.
Yeah, you have no rights because you're not a Mexican citizen.
No.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way it should be here. I mean, you should have minimal rights. But as far as I'm concerned, the U.S. Constitution does not apply to anyone who's not a citizen. Now, some people disagree with that.
I agree with it.
If you're not a citizen, you know what? You don't really have a whole lot of rights.
Mm-mm.
You know.
When I travel to another country, I'm very aware that I'm in another country.
Yeah. And you don't really expect a whole lot of slack, do you?
No. And in fact, I'm very, I watch my P's and Q's with everything I do. And I'm, it's, you know, it's a little unnerving if you sit there and dwell on it that, that oh, I could be thrown in jail and nobody will hear from me again. That's the scary part about traveling.
I know. Hey, let's move off this. We only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about, we got some more stuff to talk about. What about these Paris climate talks? What a joke.
You know, you want to get my blood pressure up. Here we go.
Let me just give you the headline. This is one headline from one. This is from the Independent in the UK. And listen to this headline. And this tells you the slant of the media, right? It says, the headline says, what the different groups attending expect from these crucial meetings.
Crucial. Yeah.
Crucial meetings.
Crucial.
Oh, they're crucial. All right.
Here we go.
Jeez Louise.
It was crucial for Obama to take Air Force One to L.A. to be on Jimmy Kimmel. And it was crucial for his wife, within an hour and a half and 2 hours, to take another huge plane to Los Angeles to be on the Ellen show. It was crucial that those two be in different planes to cause a huge carbon footprint on this world, and to be on television shows. Crucial.
Well, let me tell you something that is crucial, assuming you believe this nonsense about global warming. If it was true, I tell you what's crucial is getting the Chinese and the Indian government to sign off on all this stuff and to actually, you know, and, but they don't, they won't, and no one's going to force them to.
And it, no, if we stopped all our carbon emissions at this right now, it wouldn't make a dent in what they're doing.
No. If we went to horse and buggy days in the United States, literally just turned every freaking thing off, we would have virtually no effect on quote global warming throughout the world because China and India are going great guns. Those two nations alone, because they're experiencing big economic growth and industrial growth, and they're doing things like we used to do 100 years ago, and we don't do that anymore. We've become a little more conscious, you know, about what we're doing and stuff, and trying to do things a little better and stuff. These people, A, don't care, and the way they look at it is like, well, you weren't doing this too when you were starting your growth spurt. You know, you didn't care about all this stuff either. So why should we? And they have a point, really.
Hmm. I don't get me wrong. I like clean air.
Well, yeah.
I like clean things. I like being concerned.
I like having clean water. I like having clean air. I like, you know, all that
sure.
kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, sure. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that at all. I don't want to go back to the old days of standing on the side of the road and you can't breathe because a big bus passes you. And I've been there. I know it's down at downtown Atlanta that used to be. And I go, oh, I hate being down here because I can't breathe. But that's the way it is in Beijing. People, and you see, they wrap up their faces. It's awful.
Well, in Japan, I'm sure you've seen pictures of people in Japan. Because Japan, now, here's the thing a lot of people don't realize. It's relatively a small country, and they are overpopulated like crazy. And I think the number of people per square inch or square mile or whatever in Japan is almost bigger than almost any other place on Earth. And the smog and stuff in their cities is horrible. And in Japan, I don't know if you know this or not, not only do people wear masks and stuff when they're out in the city and they're commuting and they're going to and from work, do you know they got oxygen stations on the sidewalks like you used to have, like phone booths?
Really?
You literally have oxygen things where you put in money to get a breath of, you know, fresh oxygen to kind of get you from point A to point B because you're about to pass out. Because, you know, I mean, that's how bad it is.
You know, if you've seen the things about the subways and stuff over there, and They just pack them in like sardines, and you push and shove and push.
Oh yeah, have you seen those videos? My God. Oh. It's like Black Friday every day on this.
Yeah, how do you live Black Friday in Tokyo every day? I don't see how you live like that. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I would hate to live in a city like that. It was so crowded that literally they literally are shoving people in, and it's unbelievable. If you should look, like, everybody should go to YouTube and do a search for Japanese subways or something like that. And just see what we're talking about. It's unbelievable.
You know, whatever happened to the climate gate? We just forget about all that stuff, how they were fudging numbers and stuff, and people trying to keep their jobs and making things look like they're worse than what they were. People forget that?
Well, here's the thing, Ken. You got to realize there are some media outlets who've never even reported that in the first place, and that's been years ago. As far as I'm concerned, it never happened.
I mean, and when the president gets up and says this is a greater threat than ISIS, I mean, do you laugh like I do? I just go, who's
the kid? Did you hear what Bernie Sanders said the other day? He said not only was climate change our greatest, you know, fear and all this kind of stuff. He said that it actually that climate change, global warming, causes terrorism.
He needs to go to the home.
What an idiot. How the hell has he figured that out? Explain that to me, Ken. Explain that in any kind of rational, I mean. Okay, all right. It's hot. So I become a terrorist? Is that the way that works? Because it's a little hotter than it used to be? Maybe? I mean, assuming they're right.
No, Primo, wait. No, you're wrong, because global warming was back when we were in high school. That was global warming, greenhouse effect. And then it became global cooling. And now they couldn't justify either one of those, so it became climate change. It was not cooling, it's not warming, it's just changing. That's how they get the PC police. That's how they make it, well, it's climate change, because it's neither cooling nor warming. They can't justify either one.
Well, you know what? In the last 18 plus years, there's not been an increase in temperature at all.
That's what I mean.
18 years.
But that's my whole point. Is that they can't say global warming anymore. They can't say global cooling anymore.
Well, so you know what?
The term.
You know, when we talked about this before, in the 70s, they talked about the new ice age is coming. And of course, it became global warming. And now they're, like you said, they're talking about climate change. Do you know, I saw an article I'm not kidding you, in the last week or two, predicting that we're going to start having a cooling cycle and we're going to have global cooling. I swear to God. These people they cannot make up their minds. And the thing on top of all this, really, if you think about this, how hysterical this is, you cannot predict the weather 30 days from now. Matter of fact, you can't really predict it with any great certainty a week from now. What makes us think these people can predict the overall weather 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 10 years from now? It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It is stupid. It's just beyond stupid.
But they try to justify everything. Like, if there's a huge hurricane and it hits, and it's a class 5, and it just, you know, it rips apart a city, and they go, oh, there it is. There's climate change.
And then when they don't have hurricanes, it's, oh, climate change. We have less hurricanes this year than last year. That's climate change.
You can perfectly put yourself in the square in the middle of the fence. You don't have to take a side. Whatever happens, it's because of climate change.
It goes right back to the thing we said last week about being a liberal progressive is the easiest thing in the world to do, because it requires no logic, no concrete thinking. You don't have to have common sense. You don't. All that stuff goes out the window, because none of that stuff matters.
No. You don't have to have a brain.
Let's move on to presidential politics just real quick.
We only
got about 4 minutes left. Let's get there's a new poll came out now. Hillary is now trailing 6 different Republicans in the national poll that was done. Townhall.com was reporting this a few days ago.
That's encouraging.
She used to in the head-to-head stuff, she was winning a few months back. Now she's trailing 6 different Republicans, which includes, of course, Trump, Carson, I think Rubio, Cruz. I'm not sure who the others are, but maybe Fiorina. I really don't know.
she was actually tied with Fiorina.
Was that what the deal was? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you know what's funny is there was another poll came out asking who do they trust most to handle terrorism, and Hillary. It came out ahead. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. This is Benghazi Hillary.
Yeah.
And you expect, and of course, again, knowing how dumb the American people are, I guess this makes perfect sense. Because they think she was Secretary of State, she's the most qualified. Well, that might be true if she were a good Secretary of State, but since she was a lousy Secretary of State, and since 4 Americans lost their lives under her watch in Benghazi, I don't think I would trust her.
She contributed to a video when she told her daughter and the
Egyptian foreign minister or whatever it was.
That was a terrorist act. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, this lady belongs in jail.
Oh, you know what? By the way, I cannot wait till this new film comes out in January. I think it's going to be January 16th, and the name of the film is 13 Hours, and it's the true story of what happened on Benghazi that night. Oh, I cannot wait. Have you seen the trailers for that, Ken?
I've seen some of them, yeah.
Okay, well, good. I'm looking forward to that. I am really looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that just puts a death knell on her presidential aspirations.
You know what the liberal media will do with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But
they've already started.
But the thing is, you know what? Maybe enough Americans will see the trailer and will see the movie that maybe it'll change a few minds. Who knows?
Well, to me, this woman went out and said it was a video. But the thing that really, really grates on me, even today, is that she said that in front of to the families when the casket's right there in front of her. That totally knowing she was lying to those families. And you're saying, well, get that person to create this video, and you kept that up for several weeks, and now we know. That not only did you lie, but you lied. You even told your daughter and the prime minister of Egypt that it was that didn't happen. That doesn't sit well with me, because if I'm one of those family members, I'm thinking you lied straight to my face in front of my dead loved one right there. Yeah. I'm sorry for your mother. I mean, and that's just one thing she's done. Just one. That's enough to me to say no. I don't want. She should never even think about going to be in another public office.
Well, I mean, when you take that and you add on the email scandals and the server and then the Clinton Foundation and taking all the money from all these Muslims.
Yeah.
I'm good Lord Almighty.
It's hard.
It's hard to believe. Yeah. I can't even believe she's still in the race in a way, you know?
No.
You know what? We need to talk about Obama and this ISIS stuff about fixing the intelligence. We'll do that, I guess, next time. Maybe we'll go in more in depth for that. But there's just tons of stuff. People, we cannot possibly get to everything. It's just too much to do in an hour. We're out of time. Ken, you want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We'll see you next time. We're out of here.